out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 25th of September 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, I'm very pleased to say that we have revisionist historian Carolyn Yeager with us today from carolynyeager.net. Carolyn, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Sven. Thank you. I'm glad to be here this morning.
Excellent, excellent. I'm very glad you're here too. There really isn't anybody else that is talking that much about what's going on with German politics and Austrian politics, and about the AfD and the Freedom Party. And I know that there are some people on our side of nationalism that criticize them and say that, they're just not hardcore enough, so we shouldn't be supporting them. And I don't agree with that, and I know you don't agree with that. And I know you wanted to talk a little bit about that, people criticizing them, and also criticizing Trump for just not being extreme enough and supporting Israel. But there are good reasons, I think, for supporting them. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, thank you. And then we were also going to mention the series I'm running, contents of a particular Hitler Youth handbook from back in the 1930s, early 30s, that I've been posting chapters of on my website, and they all kind of identify what they are in the headline, and it ties in so well. But I'll start with the comments from somebody who claims to be a German living in Germany, which I don't believe anymore. But and he wants to attack the AfD as being a system party, just like all the rest, and controlled opposition. Well, they're controlled by the restraints that are put on parties in Germany, for one thing. These people forget, they just ignore that it's illegal to even talk about Adolf Hitler in Germany in any. Unless you are tearing him down, but in any way of support or positive way, you can be put in jail, and they do it too, and you can be fined a lot of money, and the party would any party that did that would be banned and outlawed, because it's in their constitution. They put it in their constitution in Germany that they have a special. They have all this democracy, they say. Germany is the freest country, freest Germany that ever existed. And we're totally based on democracy and free expression. You can say whatever you want, except when it comes to the Third Reich, Adolf Hitler, anything to do with that, National Socialism. That's criminalized because of our special history, they say. Our terrible, shameful history. We can't allow that. So then they say, well, we're not going to get anywhere politically. We have to fight our way out of this. Well, how are you going to fight your way? They have no suggestion whatsoever, which is why I conclude that they're trolling, that they're just causing trouble. They're not sincere or real. But you get it all the time, and also as against Donald Trump, that he's just worse than anything. He's controlled opposition. He's put in there by the Jews, and we shouldn't support him. Well, that leaves you with no alternative. And so this is something that, I have to go up against all the time. And I got a letter, I got a comment this morning from a very good guy named Peter, and he titled it, because on my site, you have to have a title for your comment because of the way it's formatted. So he titles it Support AFD, because he knows he's obviously been reading these back and forth with people like this Michael and stuff like that. So, and he says the AFD is Germany's last and best hope. You know, I mean, that I wouldn't even go that far, but he did. He comments at my site once in a while, and we've commented privately, and he's not as he's a little bit more moderate than I am in what can be done and so on, but he always writes in defense and good things about Germany. He's very smart, and he's an older person like me and some of these others who are I've just been describing. As we said before we started, they're inexperienced, you know. They just throw out all this stuff, but they have no idea how it can be done, and they have no experience enough to be more judicious. So this person has all this going for him, and he says that that things can change, and this is the best hope for change. But he makes the point on end that I liked very much. He said that Europe was once great and a world leader is the best. That is no longer the case. The USA surpassed Germany in science, technology, and military power as a result of Germany's defeat in World War II. That is true. They took all this technology and all this stuff from Germany and for themselves. They beat Britain to getting most of it. You know, as soon as the war, started ending, they had their agents out there trying to grab up as much of what was German intellectual content and so on as possible. And UK got quite a bit, but the United States beat everybody and got the most. So, and then they were in charge of the occupation through Eisenhower, who was the leader. And so they got it all from them. So Peter goes on to say, France, Great Britain, France, and others are also a carcass of their former selves. As each decade passes, Europe falls further and further behind. Some people are thick, indoctrinated with false narratives and self-hatred, and they can't see what is happening. Like these Germans who just keep saying, oh, we have to, you know, we have to vote for the same parties, and we can't go out on our own because we can't think differently because they'll our past and we'll be destroyed and so on. But the other countries are the same. The people still they won't vote for the new populist parties in large enough numbers. It's slowly changing. But then he says, if you're over a certain age, you remember when the USA was the economic leader of the world and Europe was number two after leading the world for the previous 2,000 years. You know, and you might also remember, as I do, when China was a dirt poor country and was a complete disaster, and Japan was known for making cheap, unreliable products. Well, he says those blockheads have to be hit over the head to see what is happening. I'm old enough. I remember all that, and I've seen all that. So, how far we Europeans have fallen in my lifetime is just amazing to me. Now, who would have thought it when I was young? What wasn't even considered to be a possibility, and here we are.
So, it wasn't that far back. I don't think it was that far back. I don't think it was that far back when China and Japan were known for producing shoddy products. The idea that they would be producing all the technology and the gadgets that they are now, that really wouldn't have been heard of in the 70s and the 80s. It's very recent when you think about it that they've been allowed to overtake.
And we gave it all to them.
Yeah, totally.
We gave it to them.
Totally. Gave them all that intellectual property.
Mm-hmm. The traders, the people, the globalists, the universalists, the internationalists, which I'm starting to want to c- call them the deep state of the world, the global deep state, because I like the term deep state, and we see it so operating so clearly in the United States with Donald Trump. Never showed its face to the, maybe it did back in the early post-war days with the communists and so on, but they are able to, you know, cover over all that pretty well. But we see this this terrible divide and this desire to just take Trump out of there, you know, by any means, because he was not, he's not personifying what they want, and this is an insurmountable division that we have, and it's coming. So, you know, it's just being seen so clearly, and hopefully these people who still are afraid and fearful and don't see it will start to see it as it gets worse and worse. But as somebody said recently that I thought was a good point, not a happy one, the European Union is like biding its, you know, is using time. If they have another 4 years by staying in control, like with people like Merkel and Macron and so on and all that, and in Britain too, because now Boris Johnson is in big trouble. I don't know, suddenly. That is, they can bring so many more people into Europe, so many more of these non-white people into Europe, and they're just outright doing it. And then they'll have the votes. Then that's what they're doing in the U.S. with the people coming through the southern border. If they can get enough more in there, they've got it made, you know, and we can never come back again. So we're in a tremendously crucial time.
It's similar over here, especially with this now with these judges over here in Britain that have ruled against the government, because basically you're saying the judges are against the people. They're trying to frustrate the Brexit vote. The government are against the people. They are trying to frustrate the Brexit vote. So if nobody comes forth and sorts it out in the government, the only possible option you've actually got left is civil war. That's what's happened in our history. If you look back in our history, when things like this have happened, the next option is civil war. So we are at a very serious point. And these people that are criticizing Donald Trump, criticizing AfD, and saying that, well, they're not going to get anything done. I mean, what are they offering as an alternative? Armed insurrection, violent insurrection? That's when you're hitting the opposition at our weakest points. That's our weakest point.
That's right. You know,
Our strongest point is the populists. That's where we're strongest. That's where they've got the most support. So we should be supporting the people, you know, that are going to have the most effect. And the AfD are doing, I think they're probably doing best out of all the populist parties in Europe, when you think about it, coming second in some of those elections recently, Thuringia and Saxony, as you were saying about before. I mean, that's really impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're moving along well. I mean, just when the AfD is starting to pull out and, you know, get stronger, it's not the time to be attacking them, you know, and saying, oh, they're not going to do anything, you know, and try to get people away from them. And that's what this Michael guy was doing. And, you know, so many people just fall for that. If, you know, I'm known in my comment section at CarolynYeager.net to be, you know, bossy, and I don't post everybody's comments. Well, people want to use it as a garbage dump for all their garbage, and, you know, I'm not going to let them do that, but I'm trying to post all these more things that I know are wrong so that other people will see what, you know, see it and see through it. But, yeah, it's, you put that very well, that this is the time to support these people, and even Donald Trump too. Very important to support Donald Trump, and important in Britain to support the Brexit, which at least is legally going to happen on the 31st. I don't know what can stop it, but anyway, that's they're fighting very the whole international anti freedom clique or whatever is fighting very, very hard in all our countries against everything that we are trying to, every way that we're trying to free ourselves. And so that I'm bringing, getting back to AFD, it's interesting that I think I sent you this column from that Veritas.com or Concept, I don't know, and the National Journal article. There's somebody who wants to post those at my site all the time in the comments, but they're so long, and I translated what this last one was about, Bjorn Hooke of the AFD and the Thuringia, head of the Thuringia AFD, which is having this election at the end of October, and also Salvini and Boris Johnson. And so what I have, I thought it was interesting, the most interesting part of it, it says, it said that the system, this is, in Germany, they call the party system the system, or the party system, and you know, the saying that that the AFD is part of that same system. Well, you can't be a party in Germany. They do, the government supports the parties. They pay a certain amount of money to the parties, depending on how many votes they get, to support the parties. This, you know, this is how this is supposed to be so free, but it's not like in the United States, where it's all private people. The parties are like supported by the government, and there's all these rules, and then there's these ARD and ZDF public broadcasters who carry all the interviews and TV stuff, and that's supported by the government too, through taxing the people, you know, the German taxpayers. So you have to be a part of that in order to be approved and be able to run. Otherwise you're going to be excluded and banned. So there's no freedom. You know, they talk about it. It really is not the same kind of freedom as we have even here in the U.S. and probably in Britain, the different, little bit different system. So it said the system has to accept that the party exclusion proceedings against Hooke had to be discontinued because Hooke's pioneering role in the AFD has become too powerful. Well, this is that, this Bjorn Hooke, that many of the more moderate people in the AFD, which it does have, and want to stay away from any taint whatsoever of Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich, or anything to do with different kind of thinking than the new modern German democracy, they're against that. There's a wing, and then there's a more nationalist wing, and what they call a more radical wing, and so on. And Hooke is so strong with that part. And he speaks for them in a large part. So that if they got rid of Bjorn Hooke, I think they'd lose a lot of votes and a lot of members. So they know that's a big part of their growing strength and their growing vote strength in Germany. And so they're trying to hold these two, you know, and make peace and, you know, keep these two factions together. It's the same as I was saying earlier, and we were about that, what's going on in the countries and in the world as a whole, this division, you know, from between one side and the other, that cannot, don't fit together. There's no coming together. They're too much opposite. So this is why I can see that, why they've kept him, and they do keep him, because he's got a lot of support. And that's good. Now, people have been criticizing Gauland. And now this article, which these are, the National Journal are very, you know, a kind of national socialist, I guess. You know, they don't come out and say that, but they're very right wing. And so they say even Dr. Alice Weidel, who used to make common cause with Gauland and Mutin, switched to the hookah camp. Well, I didn't know that. If of course, I'm not, I can't follow all this, and I don't speak German, so I read German, so I don't, I didn't know that. But if they're saying that, there must be something to it. I don't know how much there is to it. But I like her. She's a lesbian, openly, lives with a woman, and but the woman stays home, is like the wife, and she's like the husband who's out there and they're having her political career. But she's been very good so far on everything. So her positions are very good, and she's a great speaker. And so I like her. And she said, she's quoted as saying, "Over the past few years, I've been going through a learning curve," explaining her new national position. Well, so that's kind of surprising what that's all about. That's all I know about it. Then,
I always thought she was a bit moderate before. I thought she was a bit moderate and thought that the AfD were a bit extreme. So that's really good news that she's supporting Bjorn Hook, and also that she's saying that she's been on a learning curve, because that could well mean that she's, you know, she's becoming more racial, I would suggest. I would hope, anyway.
Yeah, seeing what the issues are, I think she really, I think she's a real German patriot. What makes her that, I don't know. But, I think she is. And I don't know enough about her, but I always kind of felt good about her. I would have thought she was more moderate than Gowland. But now it's their general consensus is that Gowland is too plays up to the moderate side too much. But, you know, he's the true head guy, along with Mouton, Jörg Mouton. And Vidal is kind of newer, and she's co-chairman in the Bundestag with Gowland. But I have a lot of respect for Gowland, and I know he knows. He's very experienced. He's my age. So, you know, when you're the same or very close age with people, you've seen this, you know, you've gone through the same life stuff, and you've seen the same things, and you have a lot of similarity of perspective. So I think he's trying to hold the whole thing together. It's not easy. So he comes out very strong, you know, supports Israel, and he's very anti-National Socialist, anti-Nazi. In his speech, you know, oh, no, we're not, you know, that's, we're never going back to that. That's not what, you know, he's very pro-democracy. But I think that he personally, I know what he's even said, that he wants freedom to study history, you know, to talk about history and to talk about this period without it being, impossible and criminalized and people punished for it. So that's a big step. So, and I like Mouton too. I don't know. He also would not be for any kind of National Socialist element coming into the AfD party at all. But still, he's very strong for a German, true Germany. And so it comes to the racial question, which, you know, is what it comes down to in the ethnic racial question. These liberals in Germany, they don't want Germany to be defined as German-blooded people. You know, they're totally against that. And the same with all the European countries. In France and in England, Italy, the strongest countries. That's what they're trying to get rid of. They're trying to stamp out your ethnic and racial identity and make it that you're, it's a country for everyone. And whoever wants to live in your country and identify with it in some way, then they get a German passport, then they're a German. And so this is why, I try to argue this on sites that don't want to hear it because they don't want to have anything to do with, you know, have anything said about Hitler in a positive way. They're totally, they're all afraid, you know. I'm speaking basically here, the Occidental Observer. So I said, okay, I got to just promote what I believe on my site, and not try to go elsewhere where they don't want to hear it. So I decided, I came upon this Hitler Youth Handbook, and actually in printed form that I had stashed away in somewhere and found it, and I decided to, and then I saw I found it online too, so I decided to just start posting things about that. I've got 5 of them so far, and they're pretty good. Now, you know, from the beginning, when I came upon some Nazi literature, the youth literature, what was directed to the youth, and even in the schools, there was a 5th grade geography lesson that I read on that internet site that has some of these translations that I just impressed me so much. It was for 5th grade girls, 5th grade German girls. It was so good. It was so well written and put together, and it was, you know, it was just taught them a lot. But it taught them, you know, that they were German, and how Germany, you know, fit in with all the rest, and how what their interests were, and so on. And that's what this is like. I think the material written for the youth is better, is clearer to us, you know, is better. They simplify it, but it's not dumbed down. It's not dumb unless I'm dumb and I, you know, I need that. But it's so clear, and it's put together so well, and they don't lie and they don't give false claims about Germany or how great Germans are or anything. I just think they're very good. And so, and they're, what I've got so far is all about the first 5 chapters are basically, you know, talking about race, how to understand race, why race is important, and why the German race, and they admit it's not, there's no pure races left in the world. There have been just too much intermixing all in the past. But whatever it is now, you know, that's how I see it. Whatever it is now, they want to keep it that way. And for every other country, you know, they're not tearing down anybody. But, so they're explaining all that. And it's had pretty good reception. I think people are really enjoying it and like it. And I'm going to continue with it.
It sounds interesting. Can I just ask you there, when they was talking about races and the races are pure, this would have been before there was really any miscegenation between blacks and whites. So would you have been talking there about races not being pure, meaning Germans might have interbred with French, or Italians might have bred with Spanish, or English might have interbred with the Welsh?
I have to disagree with you there. True that, it was, they had already had that business with the French soldiers in the Rhine. And, you know, and a lot of these mixed race kids, children being born. And Hitler's talked about that a lot in Mein Kampf. Certainly they didn't care if you intermix with the English. They didn't care about that or anything on Britain. And not quite so much with French, but Hitler pointed out that the French were already in the South, you know, too mixed and with Africans. And he didn't have a high opinion.
Do you think they were saying that, you know, like the whole race was impure? Or that he was just saying that, you know, there are people that are mixed among us? Or was he saying, you know, the whole race is
But I think in general they wanted Germans to marry Germans. You know, that was the best. That was the ideal. If you married a French person or a British person, any British person, well, that was okay. You know, that was okay. But it wasn't as good as marrying another German. I don't know quite how to explain that. It's not like a policy or anything, but that's the impression I have. So it was more, you know, no mixing with Asians, no mixing particularly with Africans or anything that's outside of the, and they didn't particularly love mixing with Slavic people, because the Slavs are a large number of people, go all the way into Russia and so on, and that's what I was thinking.
It was probably more,
not encouraged at all, for sure, but I don't, it wasn't against the law or anything.
No, that's what I was thinking. Mixing with blacks would have been, you know, not unheard of, but absolutely dreadful. Yeah. But when he was saying about keeping the race pure, I think back then it would have meant, you know, keep the nations pure. Don't interbreed with Slavs if you're Germanic, or if you're Swiss, don't interbreed with Italians. I mean, looking at the racial books from the 1920s, 1930s, that's what they were concerned about, was interbreeding between white nations, let alone interbreeding with the Third World. I mean, that was just totally forbidden. And I think nothing like what it is today. I mean, it's
I shouldn't say it, they preferred Germans to marry Germans, but you know, there was no problem whatsoever with the British. And British are considered kind of Germanic. In fact, somewhere it said that that the British somehow like originated from German, so they're, you know, they're an offshoot of Germans, kind of like an offshoot of Germans. I thought that was kind of funny, but so, you know, it should be. What screwed it all up was this internationalism, turning these Britain, France, say, and then at times Italy, against Germany, you know, and making them enemies and killing one another. That was just totally messed everything up, didn't it?
I was talking to somebody yesterday, an old boy, he's 93 years old, and he was saying that's what confused it all, because Britain was a nationalist nation, Germany was a nationalist nation, and you were suddenly told Germany is your enemy. And it should have been the communists that were our enemy. And since then, it's messed everything up. You know, nationalists today think that the Germans, or civic nationalists today, they think that the Germans were closer to the communists because of this. They don't understand that we've fought the wrong enemy. The communists were our enemy, and Hitler and the National Socialists, they were a nationalist country, the same as Britain was a nationalist country. And we lost the war, which is why the world is the way that it is today. It's, I was also just going to say that, and also the evolution of words, because when they were talking about race back then, that also meant nation in some instances. You know, you could say the English race, the German race, the French race, and you wouldn't really say that now. It wasn't so so defined as it is now.
Let me just say, I wanted to tell you, I listened to that your program with that 93-year-old guy, and I really enjoyed it. I listened to it yesterday. That was good. Everybody should listen to it. What a good guy he is.
Yeah, amazing. I'm hoping we're going to hear more from him anyway. I'd like to talk more about these books for these study books for the youth as well with you in another episode. But thank you very much for coming on today, Carolyn. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory. You're